Now, power, imagine that line again, power can get to a point where it's not so healthy. Do you remember this famous quote in the 19th century? I didn't look it up who said this, but let's see if I'll start it and see if you can finish it, okay? Power tends to corrupt. Someone said it. Absolute power absolutely corrupts. All right, yeah, that's from the 19th century, and that's not from the Bible, so don't say, oh, Jeremy said that's not what I'm saying. Power, you see, on that line can go to a point that's not very healthy, okay? Power can reach a point that's not so good. You also have love. You have love. And what a way that's expressed here in our text. The dimensions of God's love. The height and width and depth, as it's described here, the breadth of God's love. And the easiest way to explain that is not in a concept. I think most people are, if they're getting into explaining it or concepts, they're missing the point. The point is this: God showed it in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. He was unblemished, was without sin, lived the perfect life, and went to the cross, not for himself or a trophy, but so that you could have forgiveness and experience his love. It reaches you. It knows no bounds. Let it be clear this morning that you know this love. If you this morning are feeling like you're unworthy or ashamed or that you've fallen short, Jesus is here today. It's not just 2,000 years ago. Jesus is here today. Your sins are white. They are forgiven. You are deeply loved. But going back to that line, you have power, and then you have the line of love. Love can reach a point that isn't so healthy for you and for others when we just accept anything, and anything goes. That really doesn't help a lot of people. Love can get to a point that's challenging at certain points. What Paul, I think, is saying is this: you can live at the intersection of power and love. That is a powerful place to live, right where those two intersect each other. And that's where you are. You are a child. You are God's. You have a firm position and you have received his love. You can live right in that moment, right in that space, that intersection of power and love. Now, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, and he was living at the intersection, not the intersection of Applegate and 26th. He was living at the intersection of power and love. And he's offering this prayer for you and all Christians that they too can live at that intersection. I don't know about you. That's a powerful challenge for us today. I see a lot of people with power. They spout their opinions. They take positions to tell everyone what to do. They seek their own glory. They show power. And I see a lot of people with love. They're compassionate and they care for others. But I don't see a lot of people at the perfect intersection of power and love. How awesome would it be if we lived right there and we prayed for others to live at that intersection as well? Christians do that. That's what's so beautiful about what's been taught by Jesus. They live right in that space. So let's take today as a moment to think about that space, but then also to, in our own private lives, to twist the kaleidoscope, to look at the Bible and see how it speaks to our hearts directly. Amen. Let's pray about that today. Dear Lord, we thank you for the message of power and love, your power and love. Lord, we live in a world that obscures that, takes it to extremes that are not healthy, whether that be power or love, acceptance of anything, even if it goes against your will. Lord, help us to live at that intersection of power and love. And Lord, we pray for this community, that whether it be in word or in deed, in whatever we do, that others too can live at that intersection. It's a healthy place to live. We thank you for this prayer that was prayed for us 2,000 years ago. May we pray it as well in our life for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.